Please take the roll.
Yes, I will. Okay, Teresa Allen. Teresa Allen. Okay. Bert Cohen. Not hearing. Bert Cohen.
I just want to say that Bert is still recovering from his illness. He really needs to. This should be an excused absence.
Got it.
He's getting better, but he's still recovering.
Glad he's getting better. Jim Dingaman.
Here.
Good. Vanessa Dixon Briggs. Okay. Donald Goldmacher.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
Donald Goldmacher.
Present.
Okay. Two good ones.
Present.
Good. Heather Gray.
Here.
Good. Donna Grimes.
Here.
Good. Avelia Jones. Okay. Ali Lexa.
Present.
Good. Marianne Martinez. Okay. James McFadden.
Here.
Good. Darlene Pagano.
Here.
Good. Lawrence Reyes.
Presente.
Bueno. John Rhodes.
Here.
Good. James Sagerton.
Here.
Good. Sharon Salam. Sharon Salam. Okay. Mark van Landout.
Present.
Good. Beth van Gunten.
Here.
Good. Egberto Willis.
Presente.
Bueno.
Excellent.
Susan Young.
Egberto, you taught me.
Present. Present. Present.
Gotcha, Susan. Julie Hewitt.
Here.
Good. Stephanie Wells. Thought I saw her. Stephanie?
Yes, I'm here.
Good.
I didn't unmute fast enough.
Julia Kennard.
Julia noted that she might be a little bit late this evening, but she would eventually get here.
Okay. Polina Vasiliev.
Present.
Good. I assume Arthur is not in the open meeting. John Tatum.
I'm here.
Good. I believe I'm here. Let me go around one more time. Vanessa Dixon Briggs.
Here.
Ah, gotcha. Good. Avelia Jones. Okay, no response.
She's on her way and hopes to join in the next 10 minutes.
Ah, thank you. Okay. Marianne Martinez. Has anyone heard anything? Okay, we'll let that one go. Sharon Salam. Okay, hearing nothing. We have a quorum.
Very good.
Thank you, Marion. The next order of business is reading out the report out from the closed session of March 10th. And the report out is, the PNB met in executive session to discuss proprietary personnel, legal, and financial matters of a sensitive nature. That's the report out. The next item on the agenda in terms of preliminaries is excused absences. We already heard that Bert Cohen should be granted an excused absence. Was there anybody else who sent anything that said they should be excused this evening? I didn't get anything else.
Teresa's trying to get on. Teresa.
Well, then she won't be absent. Right. Then she won't be absent. Thank you.
Right.
I move to excuse everybody.
And Julia Kennard reports that she's on the call now too. Any objection, I'm sorry, is there a second for the motion to excuse those
actors? Second.
Are there any objections? We'll consider those folks excused. Next item on the agenda is identifying timekeepers. Can I get someone willing to time people? A volunteer?
I'll do it, Julie. This is Heather.
Thank you, Heather.
Thank you.
And I need a volunteer to keep time for items on the agenda.
Chair, this is Lawrence. If nobody else steps up, I will do it.
Okay. Thank you, Lawrence. It looks like Teresa is connecting at this moment. Okay, so that's gotten us all the way through the preliminaries. The next item on the agenda is agenda approval, which is a 10-minute item, Lawrence. I'll just hit the high points of the agenda in terms of going through it for purposes of folks who are listening. Agenda approval, then minutes approval, then ED report with question and answer, then CFO report with question and answer, then an item on P&B committees. Then comes an item, a motion from previous meeting that we kicked the can down the road to this meeting, which is a motion on setting a new time for P&B meeting date, new time and date for P&B meetings. After that comes an item on the Pacifica National Advisory Council. Then comes committee reports, of which there were only a few. After that comes unfinished business, then new business, and I didn't have anything listed under unfinished business unless somebody comes up with something. And then under new business, there were three motions that were forwarded and then forwarded in advance and included on the agenda, and item 12 would be adjourned to a closed session at a time certain of 10:30. Are there any issues or any discussion of the agenda? Let me also note that Avelia Jones has also joined the call.
Thank you.
Is there any discussion of the agenda?
This is Teresa. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Did you get my motion regarding asking the executive director to ask simply voting? Okay, that's all. Thank you very much.
There's a motion. Well, let me
as long as it's on there.
There's a motion under the elections committee. I don't know if it's. I think it is part of the included in the appendix as well.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, it is. Any other discussion about the agenda? Are there any objections to the agenda? Hearing none, the agenda is approved. Thank you, folks. Okay, so the next item on the agenda is the executive director report and Q&A, and this is a 30-minute item.
Approved the minutes of the...
I'm sorry, I skipped. You're right. Sometimes I benefit from white space. but I'll try not to read over. Yes, we need to approve the minutes of the open session of the March 10th meeting. The minutes have been sent out to everybody, previously. Are there any, is there any discussion about the minutes from the March 10th meeting?
Chair, this is Lawrence. I move that we approve the minutes, with the caveat of being able to, add corrections if needed.
Can I get a second for that? Or is there a second for the motion?
Second.
Thank you, Donna. Are there any objections to the minutes from, or I'm sorry, are there, yeah, is there any objections to the motion? Sorry. Hearing none, the minutes of the March 10th are then considered approved, and as Lawrence noted, pending any further future corrections that people suggest. Okay, now we're on to item 4 on the agenda. A 30-minute item, which is the executive director report and Q&A. Stephanie.
Yes, hi. Good evening, everybody.
First of all, I just want to thank all of the general managers and the station staff, the affiliates and the archive staff as well. Everybody has been very open to phone calls, and we've had a great time just brainstorming, discussing short and long-term goals, creating working plans, and everybody is very eager to implement a lot of organization-wide policies. And I'm working very closely with some of the key staff members trying to determine what some of those policies would be that we can implement and then put together a draft and then you know, try to put those in place just to add a bit of consistency on a staff side point, both paid and non-paid staff, as we move forward to try to create some sustainability and function within the organization as a whole. So I do appreciate all the knowledge that they've been sharing with me, and I look forward to all of the conversations we have. I also want to thank all the members of the various LSBs and the committees. Everybody's been very willing to share their thoughts and ideas with emails and texts and phone calls, so keep those coming. I do greatly appreciate having those conversations with everybody. As far as different areas we've been working on at KPFK, we do have an interim GM there. Stuart Landau, the chief engineer over at KPFK, stepped up, and he's doing that. Our search for a full-time GM is in the process of starting. It should commence very soon. I'm working with Cynthia, our HR director from NIDA. We're reviewing the job description. We're figuring out, you know, the requirements for posting the job internally and externally, the timeline, et cetera. And I'm also working closely with the KPFK LSB search committee during that process. So hopefully we'll be able to have someone in place in that position, or at least candidates for that, very soon. We are also in the process of removing and replacing the signatories on our banking accounts. We know that this is a very important step that needs to take place. It is somewhat of a lengthy process, but it is a priority on our minds, and we are working on that and hope to have that moving forward at a much greater pace, either by tomorrow or Monday. I also started working with some representatives from Allegiance Fundraising, which is our constituent relationship management or CRM software company. I just received login credentials today, actually, for KPFK's records. I'm a huge proponent of databases and working with the donor, you know, with CRMs, because it's, well, I mean, it's one of the only ways really to get our members and our donors and be able to put them into a donor pipeline so that we can cultivate our prospects, we can steward our donors. And I know that often constituent relationship management software is not the most fun thing to work with or work in, but once you get it to a point where, you know, you just get those reports as needed and the information in there correctly, it really is quite beneficial to an organization. So I'm just starting off right now with KPFK and just trying to work through some of those records. And then I'll, again, be working with the contacts that I have over at Allegiance just to figure out what stations are using it, what stations aren't, you know, how can we create. What I'd love to have is just a dashboard that I can see the activity that's happening at all of the stations. So that, again, is a process, but step in the right direction, at least that I got a login today. Also, the Pacifica Archives has launched an email fundraising campaign working in partnership with each station, and they've been personalizing the, it's an e-blast that's been going out, and they've been personalizing the e-blast for each of the stations, and the goal, of course, is to raise funds and awareness for the archives, but it's also been a great exercise for the stations to create and compile their mailing lists. Another step just to kind of see who is keeping on top of their member lists and their mailing lists. Mm. So it's kind of a nice exercise for that. As far as CPB, I am still, I have had contact with some people there in talking with what we need to do to move forward. I know that some of the just basic things that we need right now for compliance, and these might be things that exist. I'm trying to find them, but they're not on all of the sites. Some of them are very simple. We need, for example, a donor contributor non-disclosure statement and an option to opt out of that of sharing of any names, or, you know, they just, our donors and contributors basically need an option to opt out of any disclosure statement. And those need to be posted on each of our station's websites and the Pacifica Foundation website as well. We also need a diversity statement. I'm sure we have one possibly somewhere, but that too needs to be posted on our website or available at each station. I think it would be wise to have it posted on our website rather than just rely of having a piece of paper in a file somewhere at a front desk. It's an and or option, but I would rather take that step forward and have that diversity statement available easily on our websites, because I think it would be great for us to be able to be a leader in diversity and DEI, just in general. We also, I know we do have some harassment training that is done on an annual basis. We also need bias prevention training as well. So that needs to be done for all officers and all employees, paid and non-paid, on an annual basis. I know that there is harassment training that has been done. I believe it's every July. So I am working with Cynthia to try to see if we can, rather than having that done every year, that when a new person is brought in, that they can complete that training within 30 to 60 days. So we're not waiting for that yearly at a time. Again, it's just kind of going a little above and beyond what is needed of us, but I think that that would be a better thing for us to do. We also need to work on our audience service criteria that is needed for each station, just determining our market share. I know that there are quite a few folks on this call and on a lot of the committees that this is a great priority of theirs, and they have a great knowledge on pulling this information. So I appreciate those people that have reached out to me and shared with me a lot of that market share information. We also need to determine per station what, and for the national office as well, what our non-federal financial support is. Basically, what percentage of our funds is coming from member donations, sponsorships, foundations, and grants. That still kind of debating if that includes any in-kind gifts as well, with some of those, the giveaways that we have with tickets and things like that. So, or the premiums that we have. So we do need to determine that non-federal financial support. And because all of our stations are in very large markets with a wide radio broadcast signal, they are they're technically all flagship stations. And according to the CPB, each of those flagship stations should be bringing in at least $500,000 per year in non-federal financial support. So that's another thing that we need to really take a close look at. On some of the other things that were brought up just in more casual discussions with the people over at the CPB, is that there are some things that we need to just really take a close look at. And we are getting on top of our fiscal management. They have said that, you know, we do have a reputation for not paying our bills on time, and that has hurt us quite dramatically in their eyes. It just is showing fiscal irresponsibility and kind of bad behavior with how we treat our vendors. There's also been an inconsistency in management, sort of a revolving door. So that is something too that, you know, we are working on and hoping that we can be able to keep a lot of our GMs in place and staff in place and try to keep our management as consistent as possible. They did have just some questions with our general governance system that we need to kind of take a close look, because there's quite an emphasis, obviously, on the community advisory boards. They really don't have a lot of comments or questions about our listener boards, and are questioning what is the difference between the community advisory boards and the listener boards, and trying to create clear roles and responsibilities for those boards and goals for those boards as they advise the stations on what we're supposed to do. So a lot of those, that kind of information are things that we can, you know, that I can talk with them about, that I can share our successes, share our plans with them as we move forward, so we can try to get a better standing with the folks over at the CPB and kind of rebuild that trust in what we have. So they have just their biggest emphasis really is our governance structure, and that we can kind of give them a clear picture that that governance structure is working for us, because they said that they are not too eager to come to the table to talk with us until we do take a close look at our current structure. Does anybody have any questions?
I just have a comment. Stephanie, I think this is the first opportunity I've had to interact with you directly, and I just want to say it's great to have you on board.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks, Sue. I see Jim Dingman has his hand up, and then Ali, and then Lawrence. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, thank you, Stephanie. I just wanted to offer two tactical suggestions. One, I understand there is a fundraiser with Amy Goodman occurring in Houston at KPFT. And I was wondering if that can be advertised throughout the system so that KPFT can benefit from other people participating, and then perhaps shifting that to Los Angeles so that can help KPFK, and then, you know, on throughout the whole system, you know, maybe just as one idea. And secondly, KPFA has, I understand, received over the past few years a considerable amount of money for training of broadcasters. And if they have developed curricula and teaching tools that are relevant to that, I'd like it if they can be shared with the rest of the system so we could use that to increase the effectiveness of broadcasters throughout the whole country.
I was just on the phone with Quincy actually today, right before this call, just talking about the AMP program that he has started. And yes, it's very successful. They've done a great job with it. They have received grants regarding that educational proponent. And when you're looking at foundations in general, they do like to fund education opportunities, job placement, workforce development, and everything that that program has does fall into that category, which would then open up a lot of funding opportunities with some of our foundations. So Quincy is, and the people over at KPFA are very proud of that station. We're very proud of that program. They should be. And he is more than willing to use that as something that could be implemented nationwide with our other stations. So very odd that we were just talking about that less than a half an hour ago. And as far as the Amy Goodman fundraiser, yeah, shout out to Dr. Franklin for putting that on and organizing that and creating that. He also has something else coming up pretty soon. I don't know the exact dates with Beta O'Rourke, which is a 2-day panel that is talking about voter rights, and so that should be interesting as well. So I will talk to him about promoting that on other stations. I know that that question was posed already to the affiliates, and there was a question about promoting a fundraiser with FCC. So I'm kind of looking to see if there are any stipulations on what we can and cannot promote to raise funds.
Thank you.
I have a question. Was the Goodman fundraiser?
Sue, hang on.
Okay.
You need to be recognized, and we've got
sorry.
The queue.
Okay.
That's okay. Put your hand up, and I'll make sure I call on you. Ali's next, and then Lawrence.
Okay. Hi. Stephanie, you mentioned signatory authorization transfer. Do you have an ETA on the time when you'll have that authorization? Because we have a bequest that KPFK received, and we can't deposit it until we have an authorized signature.
We have Julia has put together a list of all the accounts that we have and who is listed right now as the signatories. There are multiple accounts across the organization. We thought it would be a more simple process than it actually is turning out to be, but we're hoping to meet tomorrow to discuss it or on Monday to discuss it. So my estimated time for that, my inside say Wednesday, but my brain says maybe Friday.
Okay, so, great. Great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Lawrence and then Donald.
Thank you, Chair. So, Stephanie, thank you so much for attending KPFK LSB and just being very proactive in the governance structure and collaborating with governance. My question is, there's a thing called there can be no peace without justice. And you mentioned DEI. I'm very familiar with DEI. Diversity, equity, I believe, and
yes.
Inclusion.
Inclusion.
And I think what's very critical is to develop a statement of equity. Because diversity is a word that, you know, gets thrown around like a political football. And yet it never happens. But equity, on the other hand, is something that we should strive for, right? So, and then you mentioned bias. I like to sort of get an understanding of what bias you mean. Implicit, micro, cultural. What bias are you talking about? And I will talk to you offline, but just to disclose it here, I do have some people who do train in bias training and DEI as well, and I could try to get it, talk to them about doing it pro bono. And I just want to compliment Ali for mentioning that there's a bequest coming into KPFK, because boy, do we need it. Thank you.
I mean, I've been a part of quite a few DEI task force groups and, planning trainings, organizing trainings, and the CPB, when they listed the kind of the compliance that they wanted, it was harassment and bias. So I'm, you know, well aware that there's unconscious bias that needs to be covered in diversity and inclusion courses. There's information bias, there's selection bias, there's confounding bias, infinity, ageism, attribution, beauty, confirmation, contrast, gender, it goes on and on. So there's quite a few unconscious biases that need to be covered. So I am aware of some trainings that I've recommended to organizations or that I have been a part of that can cover those on a larger scale, and then we can kind of, I would hope, with the help of somebody like you and with other individuals, that we can figure out what would be the best trainings that we can encourage our employees and our volunteers and our staff and our officers and such to be a part of. So again, I really think that it would be wise for Pacifica to step out as a leader in promoting any sort of harassment and DEI trainings across the board.
Donald and then Sue Goodwin. Donald.
Thank you. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
You talked about looking at the membership lists for each station. I am wondering, does NEDA have the capacity to kind of create a uniform way of looking at membership at each station so that it's easier to do than it appears to be thus far in this organization, to actually keep a reasonable current tally of how many members each station has and how they're actually doing it? Thanks.
The best way that we can have a uniform look at our membership at each station is by using allegiance. And that's what we're trying to dig into right now. What are we, who's paying for it? Who's paying for it and not using it? Who's using it and not paying for it? How many people are not using it? Is it worth keeping forward and using if only one place, you know, one station is using it? I think that KPFA has their own member database or their own CRM that they're using. Is that better? What kind of contract are we in with Allegiance? So there's a lot of questions. I understand that people don't like databases. You know, how many companies have you worked at where you don't like the phone system, you don't like the software, but you know what? That's what we have. That's what you use. Sorry. And that's kind of the, what has to be pushed across the stations. We can't, I want to be able to log into Allegiance, pull up a dashboard, and I can pull up each station, and I can see these are the members, this is how much we made today, this is how much we made last week, these are the pledges that aren't paid, these are our Livent, our Sivent donors, which are made donated last year, but not this. Sivent's donated some year, but not this. Those are just general reports that you have when you run a nonprofit. And right now, it's just all over the place. It should not be an option whether you want to use the software or not. But we do, if only one station out of five is using it, then maybe this wasn't a good purchase and we need to take a good look at it. You know, and if what's working at WBAI, can that be, I mean, I'm sorry, at KPFA, can that be integrated easily with just an upload of or an export of donors? You know, I don't know. I don't know if I would want to put that onto Nita's shoulders because we have the software. So the question is, why aren't we using it? And I know there's probably elements of it that we don't need to use, so don't learn that part. You know, I have talked with people at KPFK that are using it, and they very brilliant people that it's very complicated. But it's like, okay, don't learn everything. We don't need to do the events part right now. We don't need to worry about the bequests part or what, you know, that may be the wrong one for example to choose. But let's just use only what we need to use. Because unfortunately, with any sort of software and list system, garbage in, garbage out. So, you know, we have at the KPFK Allegiance over 280 something, I think it was 235,000 expired records. So every time you log in to try to get there, it's trying to sort through all of these expired records, which then slow the whole process down just to get information. So I don't want to get rid of those records. So I said in a meeting recently I was going to archive those, and then someone thought that I was going to purge them, but I'm not going to get rid of them. We just need to really sort through, are those expired records because they're duplicates? There's typos in some, you know, so there's just a lot of things that we need to sort of look at. So I would love to have one central thing that I could just push a report and I could get lists of all of our members. It would help us across the board. You know, in elections, it would help us with mailings. It would help us with social media. It would help us pinpoint where are we getting money from? Who are our listeners? Do we have donors from other states? You know, if they're coming from another state, that means they're listening on our app. You know, so there's a lot of information, but we need to sort through that first, unfortunately, but we will.
Great. Thanks, Stephanie. Sue Goodwin and then Jim Sagerton.
I think I already expressed my main point, is which is my appreciation to interact directly with Stephanie. It is really wonderful. But I also want to talk to your commitment to the anti-bias leadership that Pacifica can provide. And I want to be available to you in any way in how we actually do that. I think we have to recognize that for every station, it's a different kind of concern. And we need to recognize the intent and purpose of each station. But we can come up with some real concrete ways to, as you so beautifully said, become a leader in anti-bias media. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. I will hold you up on that. I'm taking notes as we type, and I have you down as anti-bias and DEI. So, yes.
I should add, I did try to do this at NPR. I had limited success, but I had some success. So we will share that.
Perfect. Thank you.
Great stuff to leverage. Jim Sagerton, then Jim Dingman. Go ahead, James. All right, Jim Dingman, you go, since Jim Sagerton seems not to be able to unmute himself.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I was muted. I was talking a blue streak here, and I was talking to myself.
All right, go ahead.
Sorry about that. Okay, I just wanted to say a hearty yes on Allegiance. We've been using it at BAI for some time now. We're finding it very, very useful. One thing that's great about it is that it links directly with our call center. We use a call center called ACD, and it speaks directly to Allegiance. So when you, when the call center business is conducted, it goes straight into Allegiance. You don't have to double entry or do any entry. It's very good that way. I also want to say that we did find the learning curve was complex, but it was eminently doable. And so I do recommend it to stations that may not be using it. Also, I think it will generate a reminder notice to lapsed members, and I think that's one of the things that some of our stations have been really letting a lot of money fall through the cracks by not reminding their lapsed members that it's time to renew. Many people will. We've seen a great reservoir of goodwill out there when we call people about premium problems or about renewing, for example, for the sustaining members. And Allegiance will do that automatically for you if you set it up right. So that would be a great stopgap measure. And the real question that I had before Allegiance
came up. Jim, your time is up.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'll come back if I can.
Jim Dingman, go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to suggest something that I initiated when I was the chair of the WBI Community Advisory Board, and that was direct phone calls to lapsed members. We had 6,000 outstanding premiums, and we knocked out 2,000 of them. And so I think that what would be useful is to do that and learn from other stations what works, what doesn't work, but basically get people who have, you know, fiduciary responsibilities as PMB members, LLC members, and get them to simply, oh, I love listening to that malted milk, and basically get them to call up people who have no longer contributed to us and sort of, you know, approach them with love and understanding and empathy and bring them back in. Because what we found is we reeled back 80% of them. And so I think that if that's done at each station in a systematic way with people learning from what the best approaches are, one can turn around a lot. And we're also going to get a lot of people telling us what they think is wrong with what we're doing, which can be essentially useful to essentially input that into planning. But I would definitely be willing to do that again.
Thank you.
Jim Sagerton and then Ali. How are we doing on time, Lawrence?
We have 2.5 minutes, Chair.
Okay. Go ahead, Jim Sagerton.
I'll be real quick. This was the question I was trying to get to before. When the last time we had an audit and the auditors were trying to do the confirms on the bank accounts, that's the last minute confirmation that the balances are what they should be before they submit the audit. We found they contacted me because they had, I believe if memory serves, it was 19 different people who they couldn't find, who weren't responding to their regular Pacifica email accounts, who they needed to get, you know, permission to go into these accounts and do these confirms that they couldn't find. So I'm hoping part of your plan, Stephanie, and maybe if you could just say yes or no to this, is part of your plan to simplify that, to reduce the number of people that are on all these different accounts, you know, rationalize that somewhat?
Yes. Wholehearted, yes.
Great. Ali.
Just wanted to ask everyone if they can please remember to mute themselves when they're not talking. We're hearing a lot of noise like food preparation or stuff going on.
Thanks. Any other questions for Stephanie? All right. The next item on the agenda is the CFO report and Q&A. This is a 10-minute item. Julia, are you available and ready?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, sorry about that. I apologize. I'm sitting in my car outside of my child's baseball game. And I just realized that I left my reading glasses at home. So if I sound a little disjointed with what I'm trying to say, it's because I'm squinting at my my notes. I don't think it'll be a surprise to anyone. Our focus these past few weeks has predominantly been the audit, and that will remain our focus through the end of April. George and I had a call with the auditor last week, and should be having receiving some information from him regarding, you know, starting to upload things to their system. For those of you who are not aware, it's not like it was back in the day when the auditors came on site and, you know, you had to have your stacks of paper sitting there. Now we upload everything to a portal so they can review everything from their own office space. But that should, we should have that information this week and start doing that, those uploads next week, and be in a position. It looks like the first week of May for them to have a final trial balance for Pacifica. And of course, between now and then, and probably for the first couple of weeks of May, doing their review work. I'll let you know more. That's just going to change each week as we get closer and closer to that. So doing my best to get... I've been distracted with the audit, but I know that there are people who are disappointed that they haven't received the February financials. I'm doing my best to get those out next week, even though we don't have a PMB meeting until the following week. My fingers are crossed that I can just sit down this weekend and knock that out without interruption. The rest of the work has been a lot of just really trying to manage cash. You know, talking with, we have, four units right now, that are in a challenging cash situation. And, of course, some worse than others, but, I have three that, have been concerned about whether they could make payroll next week. It looks like that is going to, happen, and they will be able to make payroll. But of course that means that there are, vendors that they're unable to pay, and knowing that we're having to hold funds back for health premiums, things like that, payroll. So, that's something that Stephanie and I talk about frequently, and, trying to prioritize what needs to be paid, what vendors need to be called and worked with payment plans, that type of thing. So, one thing I'd like to, say is I'd like to reiterate what Stephanie was saying, and this ties back to really more of the audit work. It's what she was saying about allegiance, and whether it's allegiance or any type of, constituent records management system. I say that in case somebody didn't know what CRM is, for the newer people, but, that's not just critical from the membership constituent management side, but we also need that to be functioning from the financial perspective. A clean audit means that you are able to reduce reports from those systems. That's your subledger, and you should be able to generate a report easily that ties to your deposits, and we currently cannot do that. And the struggle is pretty serious with that. I'm not even at this point trying with a couple of units. We have one unit who's working very hard. They just happen to have the staff to be able to work through that to try to get their system to generate reports. But, that will be something that will come up with the audit this year. As I've tried to explain, we should have those reports daily, and be able to track that as we go. And not just wait until the auditor pulls something for testing and says, hey, we need the backup for this large credit card deposit. And then, a unit go in and try to figure that out at that point. It's very clear to an auditor when you're trying to pull something out of your, tail just because it's been asked for, excuse my expression. So that is something I'm not sure who would ask if NETA could do that from the membership count, membership status. That's not something that we would have that capability to do. You need a very specialized software to do that. Or I know that we do have KPFA has as their own that they've created, but it would be fabulous if we could get that systematized across all of the units. Not that they all have to use it the same way, but there needs to be some foundation of rules of how that's being used so we can generate these those reports. I'm happy to answer any questions.
I see Lawrence's hand, so if others have questions, raise your hand or get on the stack. But Lawrence and then Donald. Lawrence, go ahead.
Thank you. I just simply want to say that I'm not timing the speaker. I'm timing the members. So we have 9 minutes and 47 seconds.
And you don't have a question for Julia?
No, Chair. Not at
this time. Okay, got it. Go ahead then, Donald, and then Teresa.
Thank you, Julia. Much appreciated. What I'm like to understand, and you just sort of said you can't do it, but I'll try anyway to see if we can get a little more clarity. Is the cash flow from the stations that are running in the red improving, static, or getting worse?
Well, it depends on the situation. I actually would, off the top of my head, I would say that the three that I'm focusing on, we have two that are, I would say one that's static, two that are getting worse, and one that is, has reached a situation that they have not been in this position before. And I think a big chunk of that has to do with some of the units being unable to pay their central services to them, along with paying for the premiums that they provide. So, you know, we have one unit that is in a dire situation, and they are working hard to do fundraising. But the level of fundraising that's going to be required to be able to pay these past due payables, in addition to, you know, we can't function just to make payroll. So, you know, they are working hard. They, you know, but there's going to have to be something significant. You know, we have this other unit that, you know, it's hard. I hate to say it, but, you know, something significant needs to happen with three of the units to be able to get out of this circus of kind of being on the hamster wheel of trying to pay bills.
Are we going to discuss this further in executive session, or should I ask the follow-up question now?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, we do have an executive session.
Yeah, if you'd like to hold it for then, that's fine.
I think we could do that.
I would, because we're going to get a little deeper into this from my vantage point.
Sure.
Thanks.
I understand.
Teresa.
Sorry. Can you hear me? Okay, you can hear me?
Yeah.
Good. Can you possibly get to us the cost of the last three elections that we've held with and without the associated legal costs?
I'm taking notes. That's the silence you hear. I will try to pull that together.
Because unless we know how much we're spending and what it's on, I don't think we can reduce it effectively. So we're trying to figure out if we could hold an election, if we could possibly, you know, set up something on Facebook for people to contribute toward that. I don't know whether that would affect them giving to the station if they contributed toward the election. In the past, when we've sent things out in the mail, we've asked for donation and people contributed. but I don't know whether we could do that by email, have a button to push, or text. And I would just like to see what we're spending on, if possible, three different elections at your leisure.
I would say it's, I know it's at least $100,000, I believe. Mm-hmm. I would say, I think it's actually higher than that pretty significantly, but I need to look, because as things start to, the years start to cross over since I was working on 2019, 2020 during 21, I might be confusing, overlapping some of those amounts, but, yes. It's a lot. So I'll work on that for you.
And the cost of the local election supervisors is in the individual station budgets.
I believe that was new this year that was going to happen. It might have been.
Okay.
And someone might be able to correct me if I'm wrong. I think the goal was for that to happen last year, but I don't believe that it happened. Maybe there wasn't a local election, so maybe I'm thinking 2 years ago. Okay. But it's my understanding that this year that was, Lydia was trying to push that down to the units for the local elections.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Jim Dingman and then Lawrence.
Thank you, for your work. I'm just curious, you've been doing this for several years, and regrettably some of us have been involved with this for several decades. And so I'm just trying to discern what you're seeing as the biggest payoff in terms of the programming that you are getting money from. Have you gotten into the innards of the relationship between the programming, the audience levels, and the amount of money that listener members come into, donations? Have you gotten into that level of knowledge with all this?
I would love to be into that level of knowledge. That's usually where I work best. Right now, I have found that a little bit challenging. I'm more in touch with it with one unit because that unit, more because I work more closely with them and I've asked for the information and they provide it. I probably could get it from the others as well, but, you know, it's pretty clear to me when I look at the reports, which programs are generating more revenue than others during a fund drive. But, I would not feel comfortable speaking as an expert on it because I've just been looking at it the past few months.
Right.
There is that capability to do that with some of the units, not all of the units. And I believe that the ones that are not able to do that, I think it's because of how they use their system and not because it can't be done. So I think that is something when you talk about using that software is we need to make sure that if we should be able to pull up a fund drive and tell exactly, you know, which programs, which breaks are generating the revenue. And I know it's not going to be a perfect science because sometimes people wait, you know, and do it later or they're paying through check or whatever, but we should be able to have a better feel for what's generating the revenue. And I know the message that the stations want to provide is so important, but we've got to go back to what I've said before is balancing that mission and margin. And we know that we've got our mission topics that we want to get out there on the air, but we also have to recognize that there are going to be topics and things that we have to have on the air that are going to generate the revenue that maybe some of our other messages that we're trying to get out there might not generate as much revenue. And I think somebody had mentioned something about the program staff and that type of thing. But there needs to be, I think, better communication between the departments. And I don't think that there needs to be a better relationship between program and finance. And there may be on the local level, but I wouldn't say from big picture, I don't feel like that is there.
Yeah, thank you, Julia. That to me is something that has to be immediately addressed and solved ASAP.
I agree.
Thanks. Lawrence, and then James McFadden. Lawrence.
Yes, a question actually stuck my mind, which won't be the last time. I wanted to ask Stephanie, but maybe Julia might have something to add. We already passed the timeline to hire a national election supervisor, and then of course he or she will look at interviewing local election supervisors. So we're really close up to the deadline. As you know, June is 2 months away, and the bylaws require that we put out a request for proposal for a national election supervisor. So my question is to you, Stephanie, and then to Julia, is there any money budgeted to do that? Thank you.
There is not. There is no money to pay that. We just had a meeting with the elections committee recently, and we were talking about this. My first question when we were talking about the elections in general, because I was aware of the date, is that we need a budget for the cost of the elections. We need to determine where that money is coming from. And, you know, I could go out and hire somebody, but we don't have the money to pay them. So we need to really take a close look as to how much this is going to cost, where the money is going to come from. We can, you know, send out requests for people while they vote to make a donation, but that is not guaranteed revenue. That is not even assumed revenue. That's a hopeful revenue. And that money would be coming in after we're already hiring somebody that's doing the work. So we need to really take a close look at the costs associated with this rather than adding another, you know, $160,000 to an already pretty high deficit in bills that are due.
Thank you, Chair. If I could just say something real quick. Chair, we might have to extend the election timeline if that's the case. So,
thank you, Lawrence. I was imagining that was likely going to, you know, come up at some point. On the stack, I have James McFadden and then Sue Goodwin.
I have a quick question. I just want to know if there's going to be any effort to, especially for people that donate online, you know, and go and enter their credit card or whatever, to include on all those donations, a checkbox or a place where you enter the shows that are the reason that you're donating. Because a lot of people won't donate necessarily the time that they're listening to the show. They'll donate at a random time. And as part of that, entering your information, there ought to be something on those websites that I think that would track that. And then you get direct feedback on what your donor listeners are appreciating, what the shows they like. And I just think that would be really helpful in planning in the future.
I can't speak to all of the units, but I do know KPFK, I believe, is the one that does have that, because when I look at their campaigns or their fund drives, I can't remember the percentage of those that are that I'm able to associate the dollar with a program, but it's very high. I mean, I think it's easily 90%. Whereas if I look at another unit and look at their campaign, I would have less than 10% that I can tell what program it's affiliated with. So I think it goes back to how the campaign is set up, or maybe there's something that's not connected. But I agree with you. It seems like that should be something that's doable. And I believe Ali, I think I saw a message there that he said that that all of the units should be able to do that.
I'm just thinking a lot of the units don't, people don't donate necessarily during a campaign. In fact, they might want to not listen during the campaign just because they're having to listen to the campaign, but donate other times. And really important, I think, to track those things.
I see what you're saying. So not, I see what you're saying. Yeah, I would have to yield to some of the IT staff that work with the program staff to and development staff to.
Chair, time is up on this item.
Oh, and we have two more people on the stack. Is there a motion to extend time?
So move, Chair. Motion to extend for to exhaust the stack.
Which is two more people, Sue Goodwin and Jim Dingman. Can I get a second?
A second.
Thank you, Beth.